Campus FM presents Talking Eds, a program brought to you by students from the International Masters in Adult Education for Social Change who are studying currently at the University of Malta.
And welcome back to another episode of Talking Eds, presented by students of International Master in Adult Education for Social Change, Cohort 2. I'm Aibanu from Xinjiang, China, your host for the day. Sitting here in the studio, I can't wait to introduce you the topic of today's program, Motivation and Hope for Education. I hope you will enjoy your listening of this new episode in following 30 minutes.Today we have Yumi, also from China, and Marie from Georgia here.
Hello everyone, this is Yumi from China.
Hello, good morning.
This is Marie from Georgia.
We are going to discuss about subjects regarding motivation and hope in education, and how hope is related to critical education as well as the concept of utopia. For starters, let's talk about our own personal motivation in pursuing this specific program and why do we have hope in the power of education. So Marie, what motivates you to be a member of this Adult Education for Social Change program and what is the meaning of hope in education for you?
Yes, thanks for this question, and I think I have been thinking about it a lot. What motivates me to do this course? And when I recall myself from the age when I could already recognize the reality around me, I remember that I was concerned about the inequalities and injustice that was happening around me. And then I started to think what could help me to understand the causes of these inequalities and what could help me to change the status quo around me.So that led me to the course that I'm doing right now, which is Education for Social Change, and which responds to those concerns I had. And I think that you can be in the field of education and just have motivation to transfer the knowledge to the next generation and to have it as a motivation, which Freire would call it to be the banking education. But Education for Social Change aims a bit more.You cannot be in this field if you are not questioning the existing system in everyday life. And because injustice happening right now and constant dehumanization of the people all over the world matters for me, this is the reason I choose adult education for social change. And...regarding the hope, it has been told many times that education is the one most important thing to change the society, and we'll choose a different way to contribute the world, and education is my way to contribute to the world, to make it a better place. And also the reason why I think that education is the hope for change is that I don't see that education is just the traditional way of transferring the knowledge. It's very much connected to the reflection, and this is the moment where I see the biggest power of education together with reflection. And I also want to say that education, I don't mean only the formal education, because people, we should acknowledge the education which people just have, and it's connected just to everyday life, how they learn. And it's not just like to having the 2 degrees of master and the bachelor degree and to be educated and to have the help.It's not like that. So I see education and hope as a very holistic way of learning and reflecting.
Thank you so much for sharing, Marie. That's very insightful. How about you, Yumi? Care to share your story with us?
Sure. I actually agree with Marie a lot. When I was a teenager, I didn't believe in education because I thought education means formal teaching only.And I was in my rebellion period then, so I actually did the opposite to whatever I was taught, which is not a very nice thing to do. But when I grew older, I realized that education is not about how my teachers taught me. And the essence of education is actually on the opposite. What I have learned is the important thing. The reason why I'm here now working in the field of education is because I want to help people to be aware of this point, that individuals as learners,at the center of education process, and what they have learned is what really matters. The starting point for education is never about the whole society or the whole world if we want more people to be involved, but to make it clear that education can lead individuals to their own pursuits. And I also believe that people can learn, and that is why I have hope in education. Everything that individuals know is acquired through learning, and it doesn't have to be learned from formal classes. People can learn from reflections of their own experience in daily lives, or in other words, through informal or non-formal learning. It's pointless to force people to change for the sake of change itself. Social change cannot happen overnight. It must have a process, and education is the way to help to accelerate this process.
Thanks, Yumi. We really appreciate your perceptive opinions. As for myself, the transformative power of education is like a mirror in reflecting my life. As a member of a large minority group in West China, I'm proud of my unique Uyghur identity. However, the language barriers between majority and minority ethnic groups sometimes become an unbridgeable gap. In thinking about this gap, I realized that only through education can we successfully unify and solve problems in a diverse circumstance. As a result, to pursue a better education, I left home alone at the age of 14 to the capital city of Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, Urumqi. 3 years later, Beijing became my next stop. After graduating from high school, I was admitted into Shandong University, which is one of the top universities in the country. Now I'm here studying at Erasmus Mundus program in Adult Education for Social Change with teachers and classmates from various cultural backgrounds. So my education shaped my life direction. For this particular reason, I have hope in the power of education in changing life course. As for the program itself, what attracted me at the first place is the combination of multiple mobility periods, which aims to maximize the learning outcomes through various European contexts. I find this innovation is challenging yet rewarding. Besides, the general knowledge and research methods of adult education taught in the core course fits my interests, and work-based placements are also one of the biggest appealing factor to me. After we talked about our personal motivation, now let's move on to how hope is understood in literature and how it is connected to critical education and the concept of utopia.
Yes, exactly. Hope is really related to the critical education and utopia. And there are different definitions in literature how hope and motivation is understood. For example, American educational philosopher Maxine Green calls the hope the social imagination, and imagination how the perfect world looks like. For example, for Freire, the notion of radical hope is rooted in what he calls human beings' incompleteness. So he believes that the world is not complete and the human beings themselves are not complete. So this is the constant trying to complete ourselves and to become this world better place. This is how Freire would understood the hope.
Okay, I see. So the hope you mentioned here is about constructing a better world. Then how is that connected to the radical and critical education?
Yes, since I identify myself with critical education and it's close to my understanding and worldview, I can say that hope is the fundamental value of critical education. For critical educators, being hopeful is the powerful motivational force. And if you don't have this hope, the whole concept of education loses its purpose. Radical educators believe that the better future is possible, and by better I mean the world without poverty, without people suffering, and the place where everyone has access at least on the basic needs. And if you don't believe that this is possible, then the purpose of critical education is lost. And yes, and if we look at the opposite side, there are the thinkers who are not very optimistic for sure as critical educators. For example, the postmodern thinkers, they think that there is even no need to have any hope because they think that future is happening right now, so there is no need to think about what will happen in future. And there are a group of people acknowledging that there cannot be a universal truth for everyone, and thus there is no need to having the hope of bright future as we don't know how it looks like. And the main argument I have listened is that they think that there is not, it's not possible to create the structure of society which will meet everybody's needs. And this is kind of, because we are all so diverse, so it's not possible for them to think that it's possible.
But it is actually reasonable for some people to think in this way. How people react to uncertainty can be very different. For radical educators like yourself, Mary, uncertainty is actually the reason why you have hope in the future in social change. But for those fatalists, it can be the opposite.
I agree, and we should keep in mind and asking ourselves all the time when we are thinking about hope, that who is benefiting from hopelessness? If we don't have this hope, who is benefiting from this? And the response is the system again, because system is benefiting indeed, as it continues suffering people without having any resistance. And I like to say that having a hope is an active sense of resistance. You may not be able to take some actions every day, you may not be able to do some real, like the actions go in the street or doing some projects, etc. But at least to have the hope that something is possible to be in a better way, this is the sense of resistance. And yeah, this is like at least your mindset which is politically awakened and knows that something is going wrong and something can be done in a better way.
Exactly. Hope is the drive to a better future. Now to the concept of utopia. It is described as an imagined community or society that possesses highly desirable or nearly perfect quality for its citizens. So do you think this concept of utopia is related to radical hope?
Definitely. Talking about hope leads us to the idea of utopia, and utopia is considered to be the place of hope, as it points out the possibilities for change, and it is the space to reflect. This reflection allows us to judge what we are doing right now and what we could or should do. I want to cite a political philosopher from US, who is Barbara Goodwin, and she's arguing that the primary function of utopia is to distance us from immediate circumstances so as to develop an alternative scheme that points toward change and the promotion of the human happiness. Definitely, utopia has been criticized because of its unrealistic visions and unrealistic visions about the ideal society, but I believe that utopia has a great power for development. If you have an idea about the better world, it encourages you to work on it. Maybe you cannot achieve to have an ideal society, but having a utopian vision will help us to be close to the ideal structure, to make one step to be close to ideal society. So, for example, the great thinker Foucault, for him, utopian vision does not necessarily mean to have the exact structure of the future society, but rather he encourages people to question and to question our taken for granted assumptions about reality in order to engage differently. And to finish talking about utopia, I think that utopian imagination are able sometimes to help dissolve pessimism and introduce a degree of optimism into public discourse. So because of that, I think that utopian vision is very important in terms of asking the question, for what may I hope?
Thank you.
Welcome back to Talking Ads. Today we're talking about motivation and hope of educators. To get a wider perspective, we have invited Professor Camille Bosch from Faculty of Education at University of Malta with us. Professor Bosch, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me.
Okay, so as far as I know, you have been teaching for more than 30 years, and would you like to share your original motivation with us? What attracts you to work in the field of education in the first place?
So yes, in the beginning, the motivation was pure and had to do with serving, giving, sharing, and a passion for seeing others develop, you know, holistically. Now, fast forward 30 years, these elements are still very present, but I have grown professionally to view education as an opportunity for problem posing, critical reflection, interrogation, co-production of knowledge, and code discovery. In other words, an opportunity to make the personal and social political and turn education into a moment of possibility where the social vision of justice and equity can be exercised. So my interest in education is now largely derived from my firm belief that education can serve social justice, equity, inclusion, liberation, and emancipation. And therefore, my passion, my drive for teaching and learning is now intimately tied to this particular understanding of what education should stand for.
That's cool. And since you are working education for social justice and social change, you must have observed and started, even taught many serious social issues that probably reflect dark sides of the world. And is there any moment that you feel tired or hopeless and even want to give up in the last 30 years?
Yes, of course. 30 years are a long time. Mm-hmm. And I survived thanks to my ability to reinvent myself and to dream of new projects, basically on a daily basis. So yes, I am at times disheartened by the asymmetries imposed by a savage global economic system. And yes, I do sometimes get this feeling of hopelessness. Fatalism and cynicism do find their way into my psyche. But I am very much aware that fatalism is personal and public enemy number one to hope and possibility, to reflecting and acting on the world, to dreaming of a world that is not a world that can be. So I do consciously resist hopelessness by connecting with several community-based projects of possibility, locally and internationally, joining in local and international initiatives that are positive and hopeful, and maintaining a strong sense of history. The latter means becoming aware of some of the milestones that the world has achieved. Few examples: worldwide life expectancy, for example, grew from 64 years in 1990 to 70 in 2012, and more than double what it was in the beginning of the 20th century. More, malnutrition has shrunk by more than a third since 1990. The share of the world population that survives on fewer than 2,000 calories a day has dropped from 51% in 1965 to 3% in 2005. More than 2 billion people finally got access to clean drinking water between 1990 and 2012. These are the kind of facts that keep me afloat when hopelessness starts creeping in.
Yeah, I think it's very brave of you to stay optimistic and hopeful and even continuously work as an educator after being exposed to negativity for quite a long time. But if you consider yourself as a radical educator, then probably you agree that in the course of many social problems nowadays is capitalism or something like that. And I wonder what could be the hope in this sense and what is the alternative of capitalism?
Okay. As we've already discussed, there is hope because there is an alternative vision to capitalism. You cannot address, resist, subvert, you know, capitalism by simply floating in capitalism. You have to step back, create this critical distance, and think about alternative visions. So that is exactly the first step, because unfortunately, capitalism is so hegemonic that it has, you know, forced on us, pressed on us, this idea that there is no alternative to capitalism. So first step is to believe, to hope, and to visualize, you know, an alternative to capitalism. And to do that, you have to step back Okay, create this critical distance and revisualize and revision and rethink of a system which is not so savage, so abusive, so exploitative, and so predatory.
Yeah. And then what kind of things would you do to motivate people and to give people the hope that you mentioned just now to work in the field of education or in the field of politics or such things?
As you know, my role is that of a critical educator. So by helping students become critical thinkers, I believe that education has the potential to be transformative.
Mm-hmm.
Education will not, of course, solve all the problems in the world, because social injustices do not start and end with education. However, I firmly believe that critical education has the potential to make individuals aware of injustices as they start reading words and worlds. By being grounded in the concepts of justice and equality, critical education seeks to provide the tools for individuals to be able to personally and collectively recognize their privileges and oppressions instead of accepting them as predeterminations. Recognizing oppression is, after all, the first step towards change. Because the education I advocate for is praxial in nature, critical reflection is welded to action. It is not enough to read the world. We need to act on it, and that's when the potential for social change becomes real. When education serves critical consciousness, and when critical consciousness informs practice. So to sum up, I can only motivate by modeling the values, principles, and pedagogies mentioned earlier. But the single most important asset is passion, which explains why I always tell my students that I will walk out of education the moment I feel that my passion has run out of steam.
Okay. Thank you very much, Professor Bosch.
It was really interesting to listen to the interview of Professor Kamal Bosch, and I'd like to make several comments that made me think about several points. One is that I agree that for the educators, the first step is to make people reflect about the existing system and make them reflect about existing life, what's happening around us, and this is the first step. But I was thinking about what is the next step after this. And I agree that for the next step, it's very important to make real actions and not only just transfer the knowledge and make people reflect, but actually work closely with the government and institutions so that make the top-down change, because sometimes it's very important. We need some balance from down to top and the top-to-down change and impact. So working to be visible in the public space, to state your opinions clearly and not take this neutrality, and being very clear about social justice, it's very, very important for educators. So I would like more people and more educators be brave and courageous to go to the public space and to stand for the social justice and work closely to the government and institutions. Also, like, I was thinking about the utopia as well, and I was trying to connect it to the real life, and I was thinking how difficult it is to use this word in everyday life, because it's kind of marginalized word. Whenever you say it, you get some ironic look. Now you are flying in the sky, somebody will tell you. But here also, I think that it's very important for educators, and especially critical educators, to have this courage, not be afraid to use the words like dreaming, like the having the better world, that we have utopian vision, and yes, it's possible. Maybe we don't know exactly how we should structure the system, because we are not Buddhas, but at least we know that it's possible. So it's as much as we can, we should try to work on it in everyday basis.
And the method of communication can be also very important through education, because it is not only about how you're going to make people understand you, but also how you're going to make people to stay together with you, to stay in the same position as you are, instead of staying in the opposite. For example, as I mentioned before, when I was still being taught, I actually was on my rebellious period, and I just do opposite to whatever my teacher told me. And it is not the result that we're expecting, so the communication can be very important. How you're going to tell people what you're thinking and how you're going to convey your information is extremely important as well.
Educators are the guides of learner in their pursuit of knowledge. A qualified educator is fully motivated from within. They are the hope of learners in their future endeavors. However, there was a time when many of them in the professional circle feel profoundly pessimistic about their work and the future of education. As a result, putting the hope back, exploring the need for utopia thinking in education becomes a top priority back then. Now, there is a common sentiment that hope is required for social action. We must hold on to hope. We must not give in to despair. In the book named The Task of Utopia, the vision of hope is described as the vision of utopia. It is the vision of utopia that challenges us to explore a range of possible human conditions. Hope is required then because only hope can inspire us that things might be different and motivate us to work towards those visions. So let's move forward with hope in our heart, believing things wonderful will happen around the corner. This is the end of our program today. Thank you for listening and see you next time.